Right.
Hello.
Yes, so we're doing an introduction to this last podcast because none of it makes any sense when people listen to it.
No.
Because we, at the time, we thought, well, this is going to go straight out because we caught up with ourselves. And we started talking about all these things that were happening at that time as if they were actually going to be topically relevant when it went out. But actually, we decided to leave the Martin White one up for longer because of the orchestra gig we were doing.
Which was amazing.
It was amazing, wasn't it?
It was amazing.
With the whole orchestra with us.
I miss it.
Yeah.
I miss it.
They should just come and live in our house and play orchestra.
Yes.
It was brilliant. They had all the different orchestra instruments.
They had brass and they had flutes.
No, they had French horns.
That's
and
right.
English horns, probably.
Yeah.
And a cornet. Do they have a cornet?
I don't know.
I don't know what cornet is. Do you know what cornet is?
I recognise it, I think. But I'm not sure.
Had a saxophone.
A saxophone.
Violins.
Flute.
Violas.
Cellos.
All the orchestra instruments. There's a harp.
A harp.
All the orchestra instruments were there, and it was brilliant. If you missed that, you are a fool.
I think a xylophone too.
Was there a xylophone?
Yeah, a little.
Was that playing when we were playing? I thought that was just for Martin.
Maybe it was
thing.
Just Martin.
Yeah. Anyway, that was good. So you missed that. But anyway, so the point is that the podcast that's coming up after this does not make sense. There's loads of cuts because Julia kept saying stuff that would get her in trouble on the internet.
Not just me, man.
Mainly you, wasn't it? Mainly you. But So don't worry about that. That's all fine. It all makes sense. But one thing that we did not do during the podcast was record a song with us, because when it came to it, I couldn't think of any and I couldn't remember any of the words to any of them, so it didn't work. So we said we'd put one on after. But one person has requested that we play I Fingered You, which is not by us. So it's by The Slids, which is a different band altogether and has nothing to do with us.
Yes,
so,
that's right. Bastion.
Mm-hmm. So... luckily, Bastion, for you, just for you, Thornton, who's currently serving a sentence for, I can't even remember what it was. It was aggravated public nuisance or something like that.
I think so. It's basically the ASBO, but I don't think they call it that anymore.
Oh, no, I mean, he's broken a lot of ASBOs, haven't he?
Yeah.
But anyway, I've managed, because I've had because I recorded their record for them, I've persuaded the governor. I think that's what
the governor.
Thornton calls him the governor. I'm assuming he has a proper title,
like right.
Warden or whatever. But
yeah.
The governor, apparently that's what they call him in the prison. To let Thornton come round my house.
He's coming now.
He's going to be here in a minute. Oh, here he is. Hey. Mm-hmm. Say hello, Thornton.
Hello, Thornton.
Oh, who's this?
Karen.
He's brought Karen Condom. He's brought Karen Condom. So you've released a new single recently, Karen.
No, I couldn't because I was pregnant again.
You have released it. I know you have. It's on.
Oh, did I?
Yes.
Well, give me my money then.
It didn't really make any.
Oh.
Anyway, so they're going to play one of their hits for you. So we're just, me and Julia are just going to clear off and then go ahead.
All right. Hello, podcast listeners. This is a song by me and Karen, and it's very romantic. It used is this strumming rhythm, which is the most romantic strumming rhythm of all. As used in, like, Coldplay or whatever. Shut up, Karen. To be honest, the magic's gone. I fingered you. I have to walk. I can't even fucking remember it. Look, I'll start again. I fingered you. I have to turn away from your hideous face since I fingered you. In the darkened underpass, I managed to get free up your ass. I was supposed to be in class, but instead I fingered you.
Thank you.
so are you.
No, I'm
slightly. No, yeah, and a twat as well. Yeah?
Girls can't be twats.
I love you, Karen.
I love you too.
Oh. We're going now, bye.
Okay, so this is the podcast. It's got the seminal fluids on it. They're from Folkestone, and they're sort of more disgusting than that.
Yeah, probably.
Yay. Enjoy.
Bye. I think I actually could have died in the room, and maybe 6 weeks later they would have gone, oh, she's dead.
Podcast.
Was that already recording?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
No, that's a good introduction about how you're going to die.
So who have we got with us today?
Yeah, well, we've got... it's good, because this is the podcast where we talk to... As regular listeners will know, this is a podcast where we talk to sort of luminaries from the fields of music and poetry and the arts. Usually people have been doing it a while, their long careers in the business, anecdotes about things that have happened in the past. You know, we're all veterans. We can take a little step back, listen in, and just reminisce a little bit about things that have happened in our long glittering careers. So how many gigs have you done now?
Three gigs.
The Seminal Fluids.
This would be our fourth.
How many were in actual venues?
it's going on the press statement.
But they were the same venue.
Two of them were the same venue, and one of them was my house. So
does the one at your house, were people paying to get in?
No,
they
didn't pay to get into the event.
No, none of them.
So technically, no gigs.
No paying gigs whatsoever.
Excellent. Well, that's by far the best because.
Yeah,
you're the kids, aren't you?
Right, like to bring music to people without a barrier.
Yeah,
of money. I feel really guilty now. Really, we should stop putting a barrier up between us and our music.
Yeah.
No.
You're called the Seminal Fluids.
We are the Seminal Fluids.
I can read the little paragraph if you like.
Oh, it's a rough.
But no, oh no, it's a great.
No, it's sort of from the Facebook. Do you want to read it?
Yeah, go on then.
Crafted in their father's nutsacks, the Seminal Fluids emerged kicking and screaming onto the Folkestone scene in 2012 with their own unique blend of art cock and post spunk. They believe they have found a niche in the saturated indie market as these genres are yet to be fully realised in the UK mainstream.
can you think of any others?
No other rock
post-punk bands.
No.
Not.
What about Get My Warp and the Love Reaction? A little bit, maybe. Mm.
Kind of.
If I don't know,
they're sort of art. they're sort of post-punk.
Cool.
You surprised me because you struck me as quite a encyclopedically knowledgeable person about music. You used to run a radio show. I've been on it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Did you never play Zojek Mind Warp?
I've been on their Wikipedia page.
It's good.
That's it.
They've got High Priest of Love, they've got, it's a good one. The one about being a love dictator. I'm a sex pure baby, I'm a love dictator. it's good.
I'll check them out.
You should check them out, you'd like them. They're kind of art cock. So you're like that. You're like,
I suppose so.
So why, are you just really frustrated, or are you...
What happened? Why did we just thought it'd be funny? We thought it'd be funny to write a description and then maybe try and write some music. It's got our hands.
Yeah, it's not. We're always surprised when we find ourselves on the stage. It's not really a.
Yeah, it shouldn't.
It's
happen.
It's not really a band.
No, really. No, it's more of a. What
people dicking around?
I thought you were going to say art happening.
Yeah, well, it's a happening.
Yeah, it's a situationist happening.
It is.
I've not seen you, or really heard. I mean, I've heard that one song, which was Get Lucky, only changed the words to be about blowjobs.
Yeah. You don't really need to see much more to understand the scope.
No. Right, it's mainly that.
It's mainly, yeah.
Mainly
songs about porn and rubbish covers of other songs about porn. Right.
So where do you stand on the feminist perspective, on the radical feminist perspective? Or do you reject the sex worker exclusionary brand of feminism that has dominated Tumblr recently?
It's all right, we've
discussed extensively on the journey here.
As soon as we made songs, we knew that was going to come up eventually when somebody gave any kind of a shit about what we were saying.
It is going to come up now, which is we're probably going to have to deal with it.
Well, it's luckily, it comes from the fact that the glam band part of it is like, there's a lot of costumes and a lot of fantastical elements, which means you can remove it from real life and see it as a thing to be ridiculed rather than a thing that is in any way suggesting a way that anybody should run their lives in a normal thing. So it's more of a satire on the concept of pornography and misogyny.
That's the excuse for you.
That's the excuse.
That's really convincing. Yeah. That's really convincing. Someone's been a goldsmith, haven't they?
Well, yeah. You do learn how to say things.
I think we should nickname him Goldsmiths for the podcast. Goldsmiths over there.
You went to Goldsmiths, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. So unless you want that to be your nickname?
Not really.
Let's not do it. Not really fair.
No.
Yeah, well, that's good.
But it's fun, isn't it? Cox.
Cox, yeah. Everyone likes Cox.
All that stuff.
They do. I think you should swap gender every show.
Well, it's very androgynous.
Yeah.
Pete, makeup.
Pete does have my makeup. Name's not Pete.
Arthur Rioters.
That's a good point, because I haven't actually said who you are. What are your names?
We've got Arthur Rioters. The
sheriff.
Sorry. I just used to do it.
Yeah. Arthur Rioters. Sort of play guitar and other stuff, sing a bit of vocals, and I just jump about on stage.
When you say sort of play guitar, that wasn't like a vocal affectation, was it? You just sort
no,
of
he
play
does it. Sort of play guitar.
I sort of do. I can't really play guitar.
Excellent. Best way.
They call me the bass of spades.
Yes, they do.
You can call me spades for short.
My
best spades for short. So
yeah.
With that.
A stick of spades.
He's spades.
I'm the sheriff of Cottingham. I shout and voice and guitar and stuff.
Yeah.
Magic.
I'm Eddie Glum.
Eddie Glum?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. But it's quite... I don't know. It's not really a funny nickname.
No.
it's just the stage name I chose for myself when I was first in a band at about 12 years old, playing
right.
Madness covers. So
again, it doesn't
look
really appropriate for that either.
No. But I liked the dichotomy between glum and the over happiness of the music.
So yeah, everyone else is jumping around baggy trousers. And
yeah,
just,
yeah.
Like, oh.
Just stuck in the
very
back.
Very tight trousers.
Yeah.
Skinny trousers.
Bullshit. I'm going to wear tight trousers and live in a house nowhere, just at the end of the street.
Exactly.
That's what I'm going to do. Awesome.
Excellent. Well, do you
want to
play a song for us?
Yeah, can do. Well, we'll have a go.
Because normally we wouldn't have gone straight into the song, but I think actually I haven't really heard what you sound like yet,
yeah.
So it's probably a good idea.
I think it would inform the discussion somewhat.
I will give the Sheriff of Cottingham this guitar.
Okay.
Are we going to play?
Thank you.
You're welcome. What are we going
to play? Could I
we don't give it up first.
Right.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
We should relocate.
Yeah, do you want to move over, Ed?
Yeah.
Standing up.
No, we're just moving around. You're gonna maybe want to be so they can hear you singing unless you're shouting it or whatever.
I don't know.
We've never done anything without distortion on it.
Yeah,
it's pretty tight fit there.
No, it's gonna be like Nirvana. It's gonna be like suddenly, oh wow, the songwriting's a much higher caliber than we imagined. That's what happened.
So this one, when are we starting it?
Are
we ready?
Yeah.
Okay. This one's called Give It Up, and I wrote this about losing my virginity.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, you ready?
Cool.
Is he
starting? Oh, yeah, he's starting. Yeah, go on then. This won't be in time. Waiting for this 16 years.
know will last a lifetime. We can laugh as adults over a glass of wine. Getting nervous now, I can see out my window. I better last a good few seconds, yawn, tear up a blow. One last look in the mirror, one last scan. This boy here is soon to be a man. Been waiting for this for 16 years. Hope it doesn't all end in tears. The memory alone will last a lifetime. We can laugh as adults over a glass of wine.
Sensitive up until that last bit. I was going to say, oh, it recalls an undead Ian Curtis. And then
I think it recalls a dead Ian Curtis.
It sounds like Ian Curtis dead, but it's not. And then, but maybe that is, maybe the last bit is sort of beyond the grave. He's just, oh, what was I worried about? Should have just had a laugh.
He just wanted to say all the things he didn't get out whilst he was alive.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was good.
Yeah, well,
thank you. Thank you.
I thought it was lovely. Do you end all of them with the...
No. Yeah, we might start doing that.
I think we probably should just expect a set of
it. I think Ralph McTell just goes into Streets of London. Just the same basic thing, just the biggest hit. Well, I thought that was enjoyable. It is a bit Ian Curtis. It was like really sort of, that was quite a lot better than you've led me to believe.
Well, that's the thing, if you dumb it down enough, that when people hear it, they're surprised at...
Lower expectations. Yeah, I find it helpful to sometimes say, I'm really nervous, and then everyone's like, woo!
never do that. That's terrible.
I don't ever do that. I was just saying it would be a good thing.
I'm lying, really. Yeah, don't do that. It would be a terrible thing to do. Which is, I'm really overconfident. Fuck you. This is going to be the best thing you've ever seen. If you don't think so, you're actually wrong.
Isn't that a combination between those two approaches? Yeah. We're just terrible, but you know, better than you are.
You just don't understand it. You know, when I listen to it, I don't hear a cacophony.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe you, it's just your song about Paul. So anyway, like anecdotes about your history in the business. Has anything happened in the last three gigs?
You should have thought about this.
Oh, last three gigs came on with us.
So Les used to come on with us and do a cover of Red.
Yeah, used to.
So back in the old days.
Yeah, that first gig.
It was basically like I've had a drum machine since, like, I think my mum got it as part payment for some money someone owed her in like 1992, and it's terrible like MIDI drum kit that was worth a fiver at the time. And then you fast forward 20 years and I'm playing with a Glastonbury headliner singing along to one of the MIDI backing tracks off of it.
I didn't headline Glastonbury.
No, you didn't. No. Not yet. We're still waiting for that call.
Oh, these days. Anyone can't they? Yeah. Rubbish now, Glastonbury. Yeah. It used to be really good.
It'll be brilliant when we play.
It used to be that good. Because I think I've said this on the podcast before. Once I accidentally saw David Gray live at Glastonbury. It's the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I was just trying to get from one place to another, and then I heard him over the field, and it was like, so it was never good, is what I'm saying. Yeah. He always had David Gray at it.
and Otway six times. I think that's like that's mostly what we do. Go and watch John Otway six times, and then not really watch anyone else because music.
You ever seen John Otway?
No, he's there this year, though. I think. You should. So we'll pop along.
Don't watch any of the other bands. Just see John Otway as many times. He usually plays a bunch of times. Just go and see him six times. It's the best thing to do.
It's just incredible. And very, very funny as well. Like, it's definitely worth it. It's worth it on every level to go and see him. We've supported him before.
Oh,
it's very good.
Yeah.
It was very, very funny.
That was amazing. We supported him in Aldershot at fake Glastonbury. Right? And it's like a fake indoor Glastonbury, and they astroturfed the main room and had like us, John Otway, and that was like the whole bill. And then in another room they had like the chill out tent, which was just another room with some balloons in it or whatever. And then just people wanted, because it's like, you know, all of John Otway's fans are sort of mad and have been obsessed with him since the 70s, and they were just sort of wandering around pretending to be at Glastonbury. And it was really, really like early, like a first year we were in a band.
It's pretty much what Edfest was like.
Yeah,
except it was a false version of a much worse festival.
Yeah.
Which festival was it?
Edfest.
So which festival was it, a false version?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe Tea in the Park. Edinburgh Festival. That'll do.
Because I bet
T4 on the beach. That's what I mean. It was much more like it. Daffy turned up. It was great.
I don't know, because Daffy, he's terrible, isn't he? Like. Because I watched that.
All right, Grandma.
No, but I watched that. Oh, he's awful, that
guy. Terrible,
innit? I wouldn't let him go out with me, Grandma. But because I watched that Celebrity Big Brother, I mainly watched reality television. It's
yeah,
the only
yeah.
thing I watched. And he seemed all right on that, but then I found out what he'd done. I was appalled.
Oh, yeah. No, horrible.
What has he done?
Terrible things. He text messaged people.
Yeah, yeah. The whole text message thing.
He was going to beat up a woman for texting that she didn't like his band to the radio or something.
But then that's what we
did. We did that.
No one has so far been bothered to even inform us whether they like us.
It's a shame this isn't live, otherwise I could invite insulting texts. But I could just, I mean, if you've got an email address, I could just tell people to send you insulting emails.
Yeah,
and then
we
can put them to beat them up.
Semifluids at outlook.com.
Send us abuse and we'll put it on posters.
Well, no, then you can then threaten to beat them up. And in a kind of
But
they need to contact us first.
Coordinate your responses. Make sure that you're there to. Good.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I should ask you some questions.
Really?
Yeah. I think
have
so.
You got some?
Yeah.
Amazing.
I've always got questions.
That's so prepared.
Do you remember what you wanted to be when you were young?
And how disappointed are you?
When I was about six, I just really wanted to be in a shit porn rock based band.
Excellent.
One day.
You know, one day. Exactly. Done 3 gigs.
Mm. Yeah.
None of them paid, but, you know, it's a start.
This one pays, though, right?
I'm afraid not. It pays in tea.
Which wasn't free, to be fair.
Yeah, so you are getting...
there's your free
time. You're getting our Tesco's vouchers tea.
Oh, yeah, it was free.
Yeah.
But we had to work for those Tesco's vouchers. We had to shop at Tesco's for our 1% discount.
Yes,
that's what it is, Tesco club card. It's just you get 1 point per 100 per, like, what is it, you get 1 point per pound and a point's worth of penny. So it is, if they just said you get a 1% discount on everything, it would be like, it's terrible, I'm not giving you all my data.
Yeah, but then like you get double points on some things. It doesn't work.
A 2%
like
discount.
Yeah. And then maybe it'll be like
a 2% discount if you go to Alton Towers.
And depending on what you use the points for, they don't always mean a penny. Sometimes
you can like claim better stuff, like for one entry to English heritage sites
or Cafe Rouge.
Have you been to? Yeah, I don't really like English heritage sites.
No,
like National Trust, right? It's a quality organisation. The English heritage is just rip off merchants.
Yeah, but it's all right if you're going in for 2 for 1. You're basically bringing them down from the.
Yeah, it's like Arundel Castle, right? Arundel Castle, beautiful. It sits astride the town of Arundel, like a medieval palace of wonders. But the only place you can't see it in Arundel is inside it. And the English Heritage charge like £16 for that.
Yeah.
Which is rubbish.
If you want to visit castles.
Right, everyone, you know, just if you want to see a castle, like, who wants to go inside it? You can't see it from there. It's terrible.
That's true.
Yeah. We're talking about English Heritage and National Trust, which do you prefer of those two organisations? On the Indelicates podcast here, talking about...
That's quite a contentious question, really.
Yeah.
Are we supposed to come up with a band answer or an individual answer?
Well, I mean, either, really. Either's fine. We got a long time to fill, so I mean, whatever you...
What do we think?
We don't want to offend anyone. Prepared topical jokes.
Oh, no, he hasn't. No, he hasn't.
No, that's fantastic. Well, we have one now and then we'll have them sort of spread them out through.
I've only got one.
You can you play him a little jingle there, Jules, on the... Well, I'd never call it Jules.
It's Peter's topical jokes.
Noel Edmonds, right?
Yeah.
Trust him to know the link between tragic deaths and the BBC, right?
That's true, he did, didn't he?
That is it.
That's topical. Oh, I see.
It's topical, yeah, but I'm not sure if it's a joke.
But when are you going to put this out?
Not for a little bit. So this one will go straight out pretty much. Okay. So it is going to be topical. It's going to be the first. We can discuss topical affairs. We've never enough to do, because every other podcast has been really months later, and we sort of, you know, yeah. So we can. Oh, Fred Phelps is dead.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
I
don't really.
Shame.
It's a tragedy. I just, you know. Rest in peace. I don't know. Some people just say. Actually, I do think he's made the world a better place.
Well, he seems to have united people in a kind of.
He has totally. He's united everyone. Everyone now. I personally think probably gay rights, gender in America set back probably 2 years if he never existed. Because, like, people go, oh, what do anti-gay people look like? Oh, they look like that mad bloke with the sign. I don't want to be one of them. I better get on board with gayness. I think that's what it is. So I think he's done a lot of good. I was hot of hoping on his deathbed he'd sort of go, I sacrificed all my happiness, and I could have been loved, but I thought that's never going to work. I could have done what I wanted to do, which was just go on Facebook and say, "Oh, gay rights are important," but I thought that won't actually have any effect on the world. The only thing I can do is create a kind of living parody straw man, and they go, oh, "But go in peace, my son. I don't mind. Don't weep for me. Weep for the past." I would have said, but I was hoping. Maybe that'll come out later.
They've got signs now that say God still hates man.
even though he's
the church Twitter account tweeted, "Thank God for Fred Phelps dying," because right. Like, you know they have read the book and that is what it says.
Yeah,
I mean, like, that is the one thing you can say about the Westboro Baptist Church. They're not hypocrites.
they follow it true to
the
word.
They've read the book. Yeah. It does say that stuff. And the correct response is to hate God, because he does hate him. According to that book he wrote, he does not like him. So that's what I've got to say about that. What do you have to say about that? You got a topical joke about?
No, but Fred Phelps, he sounds like that swimmer.
That'll do.
Which one?
There's one called Phelps.
Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps.
Is he a homophobic bigot?
I think so. That's why he swims.
Is that what he's
talking about? It's always something a bit suspicious, isn't it?
I think it might be. I think he just he doesn't talk about it, but deep down in his heart, it's black.
Racist. Yeah.
Not African American. Just, you know, he's got a scary. He's a bit. I don't know. Because I remember that was a big thing in the 80s, like saying that, like, associating the word black with negative things was considered racist. I thought we'd given up on that as being a bit silly.
Yeah.
Kind of. I don't keep up with current trends.
I'm sure they still. I think because of Buffy, because, you know, when Willow. Because Dark Willow, obviously, is bad, and then when she becomes Good Willow, right at the end of Buffy, she's all, like, light and white. And I don't think anyone said that's racist. Or maybe they did. I don't know. I don't go on Tumblr enough.
I don't know, you've lost me.
Is that race? So Willow is in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She's a character in that.
Right.
And there's a whole series where she's evil.
Okay.
Where she's Dark Willow.
Right.
And then there's a whole. And then at the end of the whole thing, I'm giving it away. Don't need to be honest, it was a long time ago. And you should probably have seen it. But at the end, she's all white and, like, light and stuff. And is that racist? Is what I'm saying.
Maybe.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yes. It's like Gandalf's a racist, isn't he, when he comes back?
Comes back as Gandalf the White Power. Yeah.
Yeah, but he was grey before. What's that?
But at least
Latino?
He was.
So Ed.
No, I mean, in terms of representation, that's what we're talking about. Yeah?
Yeah. Quite possibly.
Sure. Just want to make sure everyone knows you're not a racist.
Well, you are a racist. You associate greyness with Latinos. everyone knows
that. Bland form of racism.
Cappuccino coloured Latinos, not grey.
Not grey. Well,
not
great. No.
They're not like British Rail tea. That was topical in the 80s. British Rail tea, remember that? No, you don't. You weren't born. No. Before we had the private railways, we had the British railways, and they were proper railways. They're not like the railways you get now, all virgins. They were proper sex-having railways. They used to fuck the country with their The trains used to go into the tunnels. Now they probably just bump into each other or or go into tunnels that were not designed for that. Not like the British railways. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Shall I ask some more questions?
Yeah, ask some more questions about their career.
Ask about their career?
Yeah.
That'd be quick.
You worked with it, apart from Les, you worked with any other celebrities?
Tim Westwood has our
We gave it to him on a USB stick.
Really? Yeah, we gave him our single.
Who's that? Did you play
Tim Westwood's Radio 1, ex-Radio 1 DJ.
He did Pimp My Ride, GK.
Yeah. And he's like a sort of 70-year-old man who talks like a 12-year-old Jamaican from...
I know.
He is like 50 though, right?
Yeah.
I think he's from Cheam.
Apparently. He doesn't sound like an actual like teenager from London. He sounds like Marcus Brigstocke's impression.
Yeah.
I hate Marcus Brigstocke. I saw some of Marcus Brigstocke on the telly the other day and it was just him. Just slagging off black people. It's like, goes, "Oh, hello, I've got square glasses, but I do this voice." And it's like, "That's not all right. That's Jim Davis." Oh no, it's all right because I'm liberal. Well, it's the same.
He did win. Jim Davidson won that thing, didn't he?
So. He did. Celebrity Big Brother.
Yeah,
he seemed nice in that.
He deserved to win. It was one of those really weird situations.
Where the things that you know about a person
do not make up the complete aspect of that person, which is kind of something that people forget all the time. He's just a bloke and like there are things that are nice about him and there are things that are not nice about him
but the problem is that compared to what people think he's like, he's not that bad because he's just a bloke really.
Yeah.
And so when people when he went on television and was just sort of only a bit of a cock, everyone was like, "Oh, I thought he was a massive cock. He must be amazing."
It was an expectations thing.
Yeah, it was like, you know, like you saying,
band. "Yeah, that's like our band."
Exactly, your band is like Jim Davis.
That's definitely going on the posters. Julian and Delicate, your band is like Jim Davis.
Everyone will take it the wrong way, won't they?
No, they'll take it the right way. Did you not hear the song they played?
Yeah, exactly.
Their band is quite a lot like Jim Davis.
Wait for the other one.
Do you think music as art is about to become /has become a dead form like poetry did, and that all current music is essentially parody?
Well, I was going to say no until you said the parody. our stage show is, you know, a lot of costumes and throwing things at the audience and exploding giant penises.
We haven't had that. No, but it's an idea.
Oh, it's an idea.
But then it is more just like a parody proper bands.
Like one of those big party cannons, like you can get them like champagne bottles where you can sort of, and then confetti flies out. And I tried to model that into a penis. Mm. It didn't really work, so I couldn't paper mache, so I got super glue and I stuck my hands together, and it was awful, really.
Yeah.
I just had a giant penis.
You used super glue and paper mache.
Yeah, well, I couldn't be bothered with paper mache.
But what did we had the condoms full of.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so for the sake of water.
We threw them into the crowd. That was quite funny. The reason why me and the sheriff, I remember when we started the band, we started it because we were so bored of watching live music.
Oh, yeah.
In Folkestone,
all the same, and it's sort of rubbish. And the only people that turn up are like people that personally know the band. And
or just like alcoholics in the pub.
Yeah, when you've got something slightly different, like even that, what were they called? You know, the one that always drawn up before Les.
Oh,
do's and do's and is.
Mention.
No. Yeah, but like they were the only ones that were. Right. They were every time a band came out that was slightly different. Everyone would kind of like just hoard towards it because it was like the only thing out there that was slightly different. So it was like nice to do something that was a bit more.
Stage performance is much better than music. Like if you actually do something a bit weird or like engage with the crowd, it's much better than just playing some songs on the guitar.
Yeah.
But I'm not very good at that, I'm afraid, but luckily someone else in my band is, so it's okay.
Well, which one of you is
it's
that?
It's hard when you hide behind the table.
Bassist. yes. Well, I don't know if you answered my question.
Oh, you did. That was a very thoughtful, considered answer to your question. Yeah. The whole tone's changed, no more jokes.
It's kind of become parody, but that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
And it'll evolve itself through another cycle, I'm sure.
Would you say you are fully committed to an alternative lifestyle?
Absolutely.
Or do you like some aspects of the mainstream?
Nothing. Nothing. It's all, it's ridiculous. We build our own instruments.
Yeah.
You never built that guitar. Guitar.
We build our own instruments. That
was Simon's instrument.
No, I'm looking at Pete's guitar.
Oh, yeah, I crafted this.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. From his father's nutsack.
You told us a good nutsack.
Peter's also.
tell the nutsack anecdote.
Yeah.
If not, I'll tell it. I'll attribute it to you.
Okay, so technically, I can cut it out. I just won't.
No.
Do you watch Doctor Who?
Do you watch Doctor Who?
Yeah. New Doctor Who.
You remember.
Right, basically, he said that with his girlfriend, he tries to stretch his ballsack out and calls it Cassandra.
He goes, go on.
Don't touch Cassandra. My Cassandra. Which I
Please
thought, you know. That's the next album.
Well,
right there.
Then.
Oh, go on, that'd be brilliant. Proper drama.
But the thing is, by saying that, it's the same as saying that's definitely true and has happened.
Well, yeah, I'm not denying. Just cut it out of the podcast because I don't want the public to know.
It's all right. They
it's
don't
not really the public. It's just, you know, five or six.
It's pretty much me, I think.
and you already know, so it's...
Yeah.
Let's cut in with some new chat.
Well, you need to leave a bit of silence then if you want me to cut it out.
If you cut it out, just leave the please can you cut it out bit.
I'm going to.
Yeah.
I might just sort of put a long bleep over it.
Another question?
Well, they haven't answered about that mental question about the mainstream that asked everyone.
Yeah. No, they said yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, not in real life, but as the band.
As the band,
as this alternative existence, yeah. No, everything that isn't, you know, alternative.
But in an alternative
I don't know how you define alternative, though.
Yeah, how are we defining alternative?
Well, like, you know, do you...
Because
people, why did you start asking that question? I don't know.
I think I asked it of Seagrave because I wanted to, because of him being sort of left wing, I suppose. So are you committed to that?
Kind of.
Do you like most normal people?
Because your generation, right? Your generation.
Yeah.
Generation. Yeah. You all want jobs and things, don't you?
No, I don't
want jobs. I quite like to be able to live.
Now you see that's the thing. You think, oh, if I want to live, I've got to get a job. That's what you think. And you think, no, this is what you think, right? Your generation.
Oh, yeah.
You think that, you know, that there's no such thing as selling out to your generation. I read in a book. Your generation doesn't know what selling out is. You literally don't understand the concept, it said, on the internet. And it said, and in a book. and no, it's true, you don't. And you you don't know what that is. And also, you want a job from your university, and you think that university is not about learning, it's about getting a job. And
why do you think I go to Goldsmiths?
Because you want a job
off. I mean,
you're wrong, you're not going to get one. But you think.
I am bordering on millennial and part of Generation X.
I had a millennium party. I was about.
What?
Six?
That's a tangent.
Yeah. Well, not really. Kind of what we were talking about.
No, millennial, not millennium.
Millennial, yeah.
Do you remember the millennium bug? That was quite crazy.
It was crazy.
Well, no. When the world ended and all the planes fell out of the sky, and then we had to pretend it hadn't happened.
Yeah, and we're living in the Matrix.
And now we're all living in the Matrix. Yeah.
But no, quite seriously, what your generation, you don't know what selling out is. Do you know what selling out is?
I think it's probably because we're more considered. And we less jump straight on it and go, no, that's just selling out. We go, well, no, depends, doesn't it?
But quite seriously, there was a big documentary, and they were talking about it on, I don't know, Freakonomics Radio or something, about how your generation, don't know what selling out is. And if you ask you in the street, if I go up to you in the street and go, hello, I'm from the radio, what do you know what selling out is, right? You'll go, no, I don't know. Is that the same as selling out a concert? I have no idea.
Yeah.
That's what you'd say.
Pretty much.
That is the same, isn't it?
No, it's not.
It is.
Yeah, it is, because you said
I can't... Because I don't understand. Because I don't understand, I can't answer the question.
No, but seriously,
we've already set this up for me not to have any
alternative. No, but I was hoping you'd go, I do know what selling out is. Fuck you, Grandad, I know what selling out is. This is bullshit.
No, I've got no idea.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, so the concept of like going, like you sort of say you're the Foo Fighters.
You've lost someone, me already.
Well, okay, don't say. Go on, just say you're the Foo Fighters, and then we can.
No
cut
thanks.
That
I don't want that on my conscience.
Yeah. Go, this is the Foo Fighters with their new song about porn and stuff. No, okay.
Yeah.
So you sell out. So like, where you go, like, oh man, you've changed. You're a sellout. Yeah, you've gone. You used to be cool, but now you just shill for like Taco Bell and Nikes. And now you just walk around in your Nikes, going, "I love Nike." You're a sellout. That's what we used to say in my generation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But do you not say that in your?
I think we're more considered. I don't know that it's the wrong path to take yet.
Right.
I've not done it, and I've not really had that much experience of selling out. What with 3 gigs so far, none of which have been sold out. One of which was at my own house.
If Mr. Nike came in here now, Mr. Nike.
Do you mean the Greek? Greek god.
Yeah. Who owns the Nike Corporation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Still.
No, I think calling him a god is a bit craven of you, but yeah, he's a nice fellow. Mr. Nike comes in and goes, "Hi, the Seminal Fluids. I just caught your podcast in the future, and I use my special Nike time machine to come back and tell you that what I'd like to do is I'd like to give you some money, not really very much, but some money to no longer have a soul. And to just do your art for me."
I think to sell out, you have to have something that you can compromise. We've got nothing to compromise. It's not like if we sold out and went massively corporate, everyone would be like, "Oh, all those things they said before about losing your virginity and watching a lot of porn, you know, that just doesn't ring true anymore now that they've done an advert."
No, that's what he'd say. He'd say, "All right, I'm going to sponsor your new single,
your
new Nike single. It'd just be an unobtrusive little Nike logo on the front. Don't worry about it. You'll just have to wear Nike things. But can you cut... can you not have the cock on the stage anymore?" The water balloons will have to go. And the bit where you say pussy and tits and stuff, cut that bit out because it's a bit far. But then other than that, just you've got total artistic freedom. You'd be like, "Yeah, your generation."
I think the only way we could sell out and go against what we've always done is by becoming any good, which we're not. That would be the biggest change we could do.
You have sold out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was all right. You've sold out to us.
We can't sell out. I don't understand how to do it.
As you've
told me.
It's not so much something you do, it's something that old friends that who have failed accuse you of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I don't think we can fail anyone, because for that somebody would have to invest some kind of trust in us. And that,
I'm going to invest trust in you.
Okay.
I'm going to pass the torch.
Right.
Sort of failed cult indie bandness.
Well, we've got two quotes for the posters now. "You're a bit like Jim Davidson, and I invest trust in you."
I think you said you were exactly like Jim Davidson.
Yeah, well, we're toning it down. Really. Anywhere else, like Brighton or London, that would be fine, but in Folkestone, you're really going to get the wrong people.
Oh, brilliant!
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant! Cox! Go on, slag off! Go on, dude!
That
do Indian!
Any more than one dimension to what we're doing.
Have a go at the Belgians, no? What about the gays? Do the gays. Yeah. I think actually that would be quite, edgy, if you would say.
Well, you're going to write a song, having a go at cancer.
No, I wasn't having a go. He wasn't having a go at cancer, but I didn't quite understand until I saw...
Yeah, it was the no makeup selfie
thing.
Yeah,
I didn't really understand what they were for.
Loads of money. For
we were going to do a horrible song about it until we realised.
And then we realised they'd just raised £2 million.
So I suppose that is selling out to an extent.
But why would you raise money for cancer? Is it bastard?
Yeah. Exactly. It needs to be slacked off.
Yeah.
Don't just give it money. That's not going to help. No, it's going to help. It's good. Apparently that whole selfie thing. I saw so many people getting really cross about it. I think one person actually do a selfie.
Why would they get cross about it?
Lots of people get cross about it.
Fundraising.
Why are you so dependent on women and makeup?
Yeah, that's the thing. The golds, because everybody on my Facebook is, well, most of them are from in and around goldsmiths. A lot of it was, if you promote a no makeup selfie as an alternative thing, you're then promoting makeup as the norm, and anything away from that should be...
Oh, fuck off.
Exactly.
It's just like a gimmick. It's not anything.
Yeah,
it doesn't
I know.
It's like the hair stuff. It's like,
but you're underestimating the power of social media.
Shape, some people don't.
Yeah.
Maybe don't treat them differently and get about your day. Like,
yeah,
it's not that
exactly
deal,
that.
So you think makeup should be the norm and that women who...
I know.
Who
fuck it.
I think it should be the norm for everyone.
It's not important.
They are by definition out of the mainstream.
We are a tiny speck in an enormous... enormous universe.
So you think that by definition women who don't wear makeup are not part of the mainstream and are others?
I don't care. I don't care to engage in that kind of petty dispute.
It'd be good if you didn't have to put makeup on.
I don't. Half the time I don't wear makeup. I'm wearing makeup today. There's lots of boys coming.
Pete's joined in.
Pete's wearing makeup, to be fair.
Yeah, exactly.
Pete is.
Pete's wearing makeup.
Yeah, but I can't remember what name you said you were called. Arthritis is wearing makeup.
Arthritis. And he's wearing a bin bag.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
That's a shirt.
Yeah, he's wearing a bin bag.
Christ, he really is.
It's very sexy.
It's quite sexy, but
yeah, he looks a little bit like Freddie Mercury, sort of. But in a good way, that's a good thing. Well, he was like, a sexy man.
Don't be homophobic.
Pre or post.
He just sometimes wore a bin bag.
No, I'm just saying, like, the style of your outfit is, you know, he wore, like, you know, like sleeveless tops.
Did he?
I don't agree.
Yeah, he did.
No, he
didn't. Vest. He wore vests.
Sometimes I feel like I'm he wears all sorts of things.
Is that a Queen song?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. I'm lonely, so lonely.
And he wears a bin bag.
I think that was his last single before he died.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, yeah. Watch out, Pete.
Take care crossing the road.
I've got one last question to ask you, I think, that is not silly. What kind of protests do you feel compelled to attend, if any?
Dirty ones.
Oh.
Very good answer. Very good answer.
We'll leave it at that.
Okay. Right, should we have another song?
Well, I think we can make them do another one.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I think we've got one.
You do one next.
Yeah, we've got the thing is we've got to do Buckley, it's the one someone's asked for. And that's not really appropriate for this
mood.
I
wonder if it was you.
Oh no, it'll be brilliant.
Me.
No.
I don't know what it sounds like, but I'm sure it'll be brilliant.
Let's see who asked for it. For Peter Morals.
I'm not playing one for you.
I'm not playing that.
Who is he?
He's that guy next to arthritis.
He's tagged along.
Yeah.
Oh, we should have brought Michael J. Fox biscuits with us.
Yeah, our manager.
You should have done.
Yeah.
You've got a manager?
Yeah.
Michael J. Fox.
That's all right, he's not real.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
But I think, seriously, about the sellout thing, it's like, I think in the past, selling out meant that you got a record deal which wasn't selling out, but then you did, like, the endorsements and that was selling out.
Yeah.
Whereas now, I think getting a record deal is selling out. And getting endorsements is sort of...
Well, luckily, we're in no danger of that, so...
Well, no, you're not. I mean, there is no hope, because but no one's going to get a record deal. I mean, like one of my favourite bands, The Dirty North, they supported the Stone Roses at a massive gig. And like 5 years ago, there's no way you could do that without getting a massive record deal. They just haven't got one. And it's like, it's not because there's anything wrong with it, it's just because there's no money for it.
Yeah.
And it's like, so there are no record deals. But having one is shit anyway, and you shouldn't get one. You should. Yeah. There's no point to it.
I was really hoping when we played yesterday, because the guy that ran their record label was there, I was really hoping we could get on that record label. Because it's just full of like really, really earnest.
But why would you want to give someone half the money?
But it's like it's like full of really like really hipstery, earnest, very nice. But there's no humour in any of the music whatsoever. And for us to be on a record label like that, if we were going to be on one, I think that would be the best one to be on. So we could just get released on vinyl and sold at like tiny little clubs, and people would be like, "Yeah,
you don't need
this is
a record
great.
Company to do it or restrict you."
Yeah, but it'd be nice if we were sat next to all the other bands with all their serious faces, and we're wearing bin bags and makeup.
Yeah, this is our bin bag band. This is the band we have for functions.
We could. That's feasible.
Yeah. Once I've worn the bin bags, I'll then melt them down, and then I'll kind of put some shapes in them and then you can play them.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how I think that's pretty
well,
much
well, they can
how
put it on the record player and listen to us at the same time.
Recyclable vinyl.
Well, you probably, it's not vinyl, but you can make like,
you could do those little plastic ones. That, yeah, they used to
plastic.
Have, like,
I'm sure you could use the same plastic.
Used to have guitar lessons and stuff and Neil Young singles.
And you could play them twice, usually.
Yeah.
But that's alright. So yeah,
after that, no one really wants to hear it again.
Well, this is the problem I always have, because like picture discs, right? People like vinyl aficionados.
Yeah.
When you ask them, they don't want picture discs, even though I think they're amazing. But the quality is worse, and like it's apparently, I don't know. But like, the quality is apparently worse if you have pictures. But I always, which is why we've never kind of gone, oh fuck it, we'll make a picture disc, because you can. They're not that much more, and they're more, but they're not that much more. But apparently, like the fundamentally black vinyl, especially heavy black vinyl, is just a much better medium for sound than whatever they use for picture discs.
Right.
And so people don't want them, so you're less likely to sell them if they're better. Because I think of vinyl as something you own and not play. But I think a lot of people actually do play them.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is odd. But apparently they like it.
We have a record player just to check that it's got actually got something on it, just in case. Because they could easily just send us things with rings around it.
Yeah. So. Although if you're never going to play it, I suppose it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, they do, though. They play it. They play it on vinyl, and they say things like,
"But that is what
it sounds better on vinyl than it does on."
But we listened to, like two vinyl.
Hey,
definitely.
Oh, we listened to like two vinyl LPs in our record player in the last sort of 4 years, and they're both of them are test pressings of albums we've done. So no other use for it.
No.
But they did sound lovely, very warm.
Yes.
And entirely worth the money.
Very analog.
So what do you
think about Neil Young's new music platform?
Well,
thing he's launching
scientifically, then? You cannot hear the difference. Like, there's no the human ear. So, as I was saying, people from Krypton, it's a blessing. People, superhumans, bats, I think, will be like, oh, thank Christ. Like, definitely bats will be delighted. Anyone who is human and has human ears is just wasting their money.
What is he doing?
He's come up with a special new triangle based.
Pono.
It's a triangle. It's like an MP3 player, but it doesn't play MP3s. It plays a high quality 24-bit audio instead of 16-bit audio.
Right.
Which is technically a higher fidelity audio than you get off a CD. But the bits that you can hear that you can't hear on a CD are bits that the human ear literally has not evolved the capacity to hear.
But then if everyone bought them, would we evolve it?
Yeah,
so maybe Neil Young.
Well,
Neil Young's the next evolutionary.
Stir in the soup.
If having one, right, and being able to appreciate it slightly more than the next person gave you an advantage in sex-based reproduction.
I think it would.
So if you're like, "Hi, babe," I don't really see this happening. It's like, "Hey, babe, not only do I have this Pono player, but I'd like to say I can actually, some of the high frequency notes that other people just can't hear, I can totally hear, so do you want to have sex with me?" And if that was more likely to make a woman say yes, then I suppose in a couple of 100,000 years...
listening to our music, I'd say yeah.
Because all the best shit
is in little hidden messages that you can only hear on a certain quality, as if that's possible.
Stuff for dogs and stuff.
Yeah, and then start our own race.
A dog.
Yeah. Well, we've got a song about it.
Got some white dogs. Yeah.
Not gonna do that.
So no, I think it's terrible and stupid.
Yeah,
it's just really stupid, is what it is. Do you agree?
I've got no idea. I haven't really known enough about it to formulate an opinion yet.
What do you think about where do you think that plane is? Topical topics.
I don't know really. My answer's not going to be useful.
Guess a continent that's nearest, and then we'll do bingo.
Oceania.
That's not really a continent.
No, but it's nice, isn't it? Because nobody uses it anymore. And it's the only one that doesn't begin with the same letter as it ends with.
Ooh.
Until it was Australasia.
That begins with A and A.
Yeah.
There you're right.
My theory that I had this morning when I was half asleep was that it had gone so high, it had gone much, much higher than it's supposed to, that it had just started to have... what's it called? You know, the gravity thing. No gravity thing. It had gone to zero gravity or whatever it is, or whatever, not zero gravity, but the other one. And it was just going around the planet.
It was in orbit around the planet.
And
that's why they can't find it, because every time they look for it, it's moved.
They're looking through it via satellites, which are also in
which
orbit.
Which are in orbit.
So, yeah, that's,
so well, never
that's
find
it, isn't it?
Because they could be looking down, going, "Where's the plane?" And it's next to them all the time.
For about 5 minutes, I was like,
maybe
that's
it's
where it is.
Maybe it's stuck to the satellite, like the Millennium Falcon on that Imperial cruiser.
Yeah.
And it's just, and that's why the satellite can't find it.
Yeah.
That's not what it is.
I think
it's just crashed near Australia.
It's crashed.
I think the ocean's massive.
Yeah. That's the thing is that people kind of like the news has kind of been going mental about it. You're like, so it's quite a big world.
Yeah.
Like if something is that high up, it's very difficult to find things in massive areas of water that are incredibly deep.
Yeah.
It's been a while. It's terrible. It's a tragedy. It's very, very strange.
It's probably not strange. It's probably just what happens when you live on a massive planet.
Yeah. Well, I suppose they want to find out why it went down. I mean, I'd want to find out why it went down.
Yeah.
That'd probably take 2 years. It took 2 years last time.
For Air France, it took 2 years, didn't it? Did they find out?
Yeah. It just took 2 years, and when it turned out, it just crashed,
turned out it turned out it wasn't so high
particularly newsworthy. Turned out he'd been to Alpha Centauri and come back with amazing new secrets about polar bears.
Yeah, wow.
So we're going to do another one.
Yes. This one's called Casting Couch Blues.
Yeah. Of course it is.
Do you want to start?
Having sex with Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah. Because the thing is, if someone made a mental picture of that while listening, they'd be arrested. Better go and catch your coach.
Okay, thank you.
Cool.
Sweet. So should we carry on talking?
But we'll let them.
No, but I think. But I think
I'm just going to say, because we're back. This is an unusual one because normally we don't edit the podcast at all.
Yeah.
But on this occasion, people had to go and get a coach.
Yeah.
So we're now going to. That was an edit, and now we're in the more reflective, more downbeat.
Yeah.
Boring. Serious. Then, anyway. Serious.
You've got the
half of the podcast.
Downbeat members.
Yeah.
But we were just having an interesting discussion about the business and
about the business.
All that stuff. Oh,
I feel like such a twat talking about the business.
Well,
no, it's just it.
So what you would say that you used to be in a different band?
It used to be in a different band, but it was also like the only ones I'm really still friends with, like Luke and the bassist and the drummer.
What's wrong with the rest of them?
Well, they were the ones. They were the ones that enjoyed playing the gigs and enjoyed having fun. Everybody else enjoyed the gigs, but it was all about like where it was going to go and go next. And you're like, we're 17 years old and playing in pubs and stuff. It's not. This isn't going to be your your get out clause of life. Like, this isn't going to be the thing that. And even if there's nothing wrong with believing that, but it just they're just so driven, just get so angry and.
Like, did you find that you were like holding stuff back and not doing things because you were trying to because at some point you were going to need that stuff for when you got famous or whatever? Because I know bands like that in Brighton who'll do this thing where they like they'll be together for like years and years and years and record nothing and make nothing. And say, oh well, keeping the good stuff for when we get signed. Like, never gonna get signed. That doesn't happen. No. It's not something that is something that happened in the '80s and nineties. It doesn't happen now.
We didn't have nearly enough productivity to do that. Like both the bands I've been in have got had about. I don't know, 6 songs. Right. So you can't. There's nothing to hold back because without that you haven't got a set, and without recording that, either there's you know nothing, and none of the bands were really talented enough, or in a like some bands can be rubbish and then you know have chances and stuff as you said like in Brighton and stuff, but we there's nothing there for that, so you just have to use all of your stuff in the hope that it's gonna just you know make a slight thing.
I think, though, going back to the previous thing I said earlier about bands being boring on stage, I think that's part of it, the kind of delusion of careerism.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
It's sort of like, if we look really uninterested and sort of cool,
it's the other way around as well. Like, have you heard this Future Islands song that everyone's... I say everyone who
lives
in
London.
That's
the sort of thing I would say yes to.
No. Well, they was on Letterman, and the front guy, you know, wobbles around a bit and sings in a weird voice. And right. So that's obviously an affectation that's put on because that makes them a bit weird and they're, you know, slightly more marketable to certain audiences and things like that. And so it was just like that's equally as.
That's
a thing,
setup,
but
right?
they're not having fun. It's just they're looking weird.
It's a gimmick.
Yeah, it's just another gimmick, and I think that's equally as.
I mean, they've got the marketing thing has. They've gotten really, really good at that.
Yeah.
I mean, like the people who do that have gotten. So I mean, Lana Del Rey is an amazing example of like. It blows my mind that she gets away with it.
Yeah,
but I say she. There is no Lana Del Rey. It's a marketing consortium.
She could easily and like,
yeah,
but
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
But like, but I don't get how it can be so brazen as to go right. Okay, so what do people like? Oh, they like video games, don't they? And we'll do one called that. They like jeans. We'll do one called that. It's like a catalogue. Come to life and singing, and then, but even that was all. Yeah, but that's fair enough. But then, Summertime Sadness, that's a fucking paint shade. Like, that is something. Oh, what should we paint our special dining room? Oh, how about Summertime Sadness?
Sort of
what color's
yellow,
that?
Yeah.
Sort of muted, more muted, desaturated blue. Perfect. It's like it's a marketing. Seminar come to life, and I don't. I mean, it blows my mind that gets
people
the people don't just go.
People.
Hang on. Fuck off, I'm not buying that. How dare you insult me with that? That's ridiculous. I mean, because the music is fine, it's not, you know, I don't like it, but it's not...
The other trick that they play...
But at least call it something...
Well, you know, like, I know people have been going on about it in a negative way, but she has got some talent there, actually. And then they turn that other side, the other audience, like, literally, like, conducting a choir. Like, they're kind of like, oh, well, maybe I will listen to it then, because, you know... All these people being negative about it, they might just be being mean, and they're not.
Yeah,
and they're going,
yeah.
It's just conducting.
But that's but the thing is, it's true. She does have some talent, but that's the myth of talent. I reckon 50% of people of girls who I went to school with have that much talent. Talent is really not that rare.
Yeah,
talent.
Yeah,
loads
yeah.
of people have talent.
Yeah,
talent.
Exactly.
Talent's everywhere. What's rare is luck, and that's the main thing that moves it. But you can manipulate luck by focusing a lot of money on marketed, specifically targeted phrases. But like talent, yeah. I mean, I can't deny it. It's got talent, but loads of people have got talent. It's really not a difficult thing to find.
Yeah.
Although you have managed to find one of the only groups without talent.
Well,
you're not talentless though. You have things to say.
But the thing is.
When you have things to play.
The things you've got to say are reprehensible, but you have got them. But I suppose, I don't know, because I think it's actually probably a more interesting talent to come up with something that engages an audience than to, you know, anyone who could write songs that are perfectly good and be really boring and awful.
But I think that's the thing, like, because we're obviously gimmicky, but then it is a gimmick, and it's like, that's the thing, it's like the willful suspension of your belief rather than the kind of, instead of being trying to be manipulated, you're like kind of putting it there and going, well, if people like this, they'll like this. And it is just, it's like, it's obviously, as long as you make it obvious that this isn't real, that this is like, it's like the Dave Bowie thing again.
Yeah, which I said off mic.
Which you said off mic, but it's
what
just
was
like,
I was saying about Dave Bowie,
actually believe
the reason why I can't stand, like, so, well, I can't stand your women from Brighton who sort of float about and make Julia angry and pretend that they're reincarnations of old Native American gods while singing their admittedly fairly all right songs, which have some talent behind them.
I think the people who believe in it make them more...
But I always have a problem with that because I think it's inauthentic. And we're not, but I don't, it's not the inauthenticity, because I like inauthenticity when it's David Bowie. It's the conning children out of money by getting them to actually believe it. No one thinks David Bowie is actually a space alien.
Yeah.
But some people, a lot of people do believe. And also, I mean, it's that sort of like, men want to wank over something, but they don't want to feel bad about it.
Yeah.
If they're liberal men, liberal middle class men, so we'll give them something they can wank over. Just
like our
a
music.
Little suggestion of tits. You look at the cover art and you're like,
But I think that's why
Band page 3, but buy this instead. For the benefit of the listeners, Julia just put her tongue in her mouth as if simulating a form of fellatio, I think. Yes. Was that fellatio you were doing? Oh, fellatio,
I think that's why the gimmicky thing works with the kind of the porn angle as well. Like in the way that, like, it's probably things like page 3 that are more damaging than porn, because when you look at porn, it's so. I mean, as long as you're thinking, you know, like a bit of common sense, a lot of it's so obviously just mad and not true, and you can compartmentalise.
Are you making an argument for extreme bestiality pornography?
Oh yeah. Well,
you probably shouldn't.
We're not playing the bestiality song today. But
I thought you already did. That wasn't the bestiality.
No, that's Casting Couch Blues. That was about a very
Scooby Doo is a dog, right?
Yeah. It was,
that is bestiality then, still.
But we've got
the Scooby Doo parody.
Got more about bestiality.
Yeah,
quite seriously though, because you know, pornography, right, is a problematic subject.
Yeah. But I think. Like even just by doing songs about porn, you're already putting yourself out there as clearly not a serious.
Do you
artist.
Think there's what we can call the Jimmy Carr conundrum of you'll be performing jokes that you intend?
Yeah,
I think what
yeah.
Stuart well, says that you I, intend them ironically, but I, the audience will take it face
think,
value.
I think it works better with Al Murray, the pub landlord.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
In the way that it started off, obviously, as like a satire of this ridiculous way of being and thinking, but then. Once you get to a certain point and your audience is more than just the people that you can expect to understand it, then obviously they start buying into it as a real thing. When you're not viewing it with a sense of irony, it is just... you're just taking it at face value.
Yeah.
Then it's just... like if you take our songs at face value, it is horrible, horrible, horrible stuff. Really horrible.
I do quite like the idea that, like, you're sort of... It will take off, right?
Yeah.
And then... you know, because a record company will put loads of money in it, because it's never charts. Lillian, I got famous on MySpace. No, you didn't. That's not true. But, like, you know, say someone did come and put loads of money into promoting you, and then it took off. And then, I mean, I'd like to see the audience that was taking it as authentically. Sitting there, waving cocks, going, yeah, I love porn. Oh, I've had 6 wanks today. Yeah. This is brilliant.
The getting famous thing.
That's most of our audience. Yeah. Clearly never seen this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to mention any names. But again, that's like
6 wanks day.
the kind of Stuart Lee thing, which he always explains, is like once he gets to a certain level of popularity, then he can't play the kind of, you know, failing artist thing, because it's obviously hypocritical, because he's not failing, he's doing quite popular. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, if we present ourselves as rubbish, then it's fine, because you're laughing at them and not necessarily with them. But if we were to become famous, then you couldn't do that anymore, because you're not shit. You're someone who people like in a real way, and then you go, well, that's not... You're no longer laughing at this stupid, like, useless, egotistical thing. You're now laughing at a successful thing that's worked, and that's terrible.
You're perpetuating rape culture.
Yeah, exactly.
Depending on context. So you're either counter to it or against it. That's difficult, isn't it? Well, I hope you do have to deal with that.
Not really, but then it's quite obvious. No, I don't think there's many people that can look at the stage thing and go, wow, they're... you know, role models for any kind of way of thinking.
I think you'd be surprised.
I think the outfits give it away, really.
So what do you wear?
I wear a ladies' pair of crushed velvet leggings and a golden crocodile top thing, along with a red kimono. He wears that. Jake wears a boiler suit.
Podcast.
Oh, yeah. He wears a plastic bin bag with, you know, fairly formal clothes over the top and a very terrifying face.
That's my normal face.
Yeah, I know.
Just
I know.
Wear that.
I know, but it works. Jake wears a white boiler suit with a bowler hat and a boa and eyeliner, so he looks like someone out of Clockwork Orange or something like that. Nice. And Josh normally wears.
You're saying all the wrong names.
The sheriff of Cottingham.
Yeah, the sheriff of Cottingham wears a big, velvety, silky, purple top and leopard print leggings.
Nice. I used to wear an American flag shirt that I got.
Okay.
And a gothy coat that was slightly too tight for me. I just used to wear that.
Good. It looked good. I used to wear a flat American flag. I used to have one as like a boot.
You've got that little glittery American flag.
No, I gave that to a fan.
Did you?
Yeah, it was part of a package.
I should mention our occasional saxophonist, Angus Management, wears a little American flag out the side of his glasses.
Excellent.
Disappointingly, Fruit Bat's never dressed up when he performs with us.
I think everything Les wears now is a costume. and the real Fruit Bat wears the cycle shorts and the little hat. And that's what he really... And everything he wears in his real life. It's Les is Fruit Bat's comment on the human race.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what Goldsmith was like for me, actually.
That's pretty much what Goldsmith's like for most people.
I was sitting there just sort of going, I don't know. What are you saying? I'm saying anything at all.
Again, it's quite a similar thing because it's quite like the whole like do a lot of like psychoanalytical stuff in the English thing, and it's really fascinating to write about, and I think it's really interesting to do because there's so many different things, so many different explanations for all this stuff and like that. But it's just as long as you don't take it necessarily seriously. Like I had to do an essay last year about. All the like undercurrents about Frankenstein want to fuck his monster, which is a replacement for his mum and his dead sister, and all this stuff like that. And it's a really, really interesting way of looking at a text. But I don't think it's true. Like it's obviously, firstly, no, I don't think anybody.
It wasn't really a Frankenstein. It was a
fiction. Well, it's not. It's fiction. Nobody can have that kind of.
But it's not Frankenstein. It's Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah,
and he didn't exist anyway.
I said Frankenstein, but the monster
wasn't the monster part of his family though. I mean, I suppose technically he would have been called Frankenstein's, but what else is he called? That's really offensive just to refer to someone as the monster.
I think the whole thing's
he would also probably have been another Mr. Frankenstein.
Yeah.
I think if he had a birth certificate, a creation certificate or whatever, but like if he died, he'd probably have to fill in forms at the tax office. What name would you give the monster? Probably Mr. Frankenstein, probably Eddie Frankenstein. I'm just saying, like, he probably was called Frankenstein.
No, he's not a monster.
You can't even know. That's his descriptive nickname at best.
Yeah, I think.
But then I suppose you're named by your parents, and if he's the equivalent of a parent, that he has named him the monster.
Well, I don't know what he put on the form. He wouldn't have put that on the
form. You don't really choose your own name. We mean you can, but no.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have put that on the form. You wouldn't have said, what's the name of the infant?
I'll be honest with you, I don't really think he'd be filling out that many forms.
I don't know, was there a rule about what you're allowed to call people in? I'm not sure you were allowed to call people the monster in Victorian England, or pre-Victorian England.
Well, they did.
they referred to him as the monster. That's not the same as his name, is it? That's like,
I don't know. It's entirely hypothetical.
It's like in that Luke Haynes autobiography, he always refers to him as the cellist. But that's not his name. It's like just, he had a name. I just can't remember what it was because.
Yeah, but he has got a name, whereas the monster doesn't.
I'm saying I'm saying on the forms, the monster probably has got a name.
But how did he get that name?
Frankenstein would have given it to him. He said, "Oh, he's my son. He's Mr. Frankenstein Jr."
But that didn't happen.
He's Benjamin Frankenstein.
We have not been told that happened.
I don't need to be told it happened. I'm assuming.
Well, yeah, but then that's exactly what I'm doing in the text. No, it's true.
Yeah, but I'm assuming, right? That
you only really work with what you've been given with. I mean, everything else is pure hypothesis, and that becomes problematic.
But I'm assuming that Frankenstein breathed. I'm assuming that he had to attend to his toilet every day.
Yeah, but that's not necessary. That's not necessary for the purposes of the story.
I'm not saying it is necessary for the purposes of the story. I'm saying that in order to say that the man's name was the monster, not Benjamin Frankenstein. Yeah. Not necessarily Benjamin. I'm just saying he must have had a name. Once he died, he'd have had to fill in death forms. And like, in order to do that, you'd have had to give him a name. And you're not going to put the monster. You're going to call his dad was Frankenstein, so obviously he's Mr. Frankenstein. So what I'm saying is Frankenstein's monster was called Frankenstein.
I think the only problem there is he wasn't he wasn't a registered member of society because there would have been no birth forms or no death forms. There certainly wasn't a birth form.
But there wouldn't have been a birth form.
If there wasn't a birth form, then he's not a registered citizen.
He died in quite a public manner.
Yeah, but if there's no birth form, then he's not like a citizen. So there's nothing to be tied up.
There's still bureaucracy when someone dies. He would have died in a public manner. So the bureaucracy would have had to have been entered into, at which point you would have had to put a name on the form.
I think to be honest, they would have just gone, it doesn't really matter, let's get rid of him.
I don't think they
let's
would
cover
have...
over this. Let's cover over this massive
does that
scandal.
Sound like any bureaucracy you've ever heard of?
What, trying to cover up a scandal?
Well,
I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
Only a little bit.
I don't think when anyone dies, people don't just go, oh, let's just not, this is a bit uncomfortable, let's not talk about it. Oh, he's got, we can't find his birth certificate, let's not give him a death certificate.
Yeah,
that's never happened.
But then I've never seen bureaucracy revolve around a giant, you know, 10-foot monster made of other people's
parts.
That's
the strength of bureaucracy, in that it's able to deal with all eventualities.
Well, all eventualities we've encountered so far.
I'm going to have to read Frankenstein, I think, find out.
I didn't read it. No, I read it.
He's doing
the
English
read
degree,
read
don't read
it. No. Jesus, you think I have time to read all the books?
God,
so many of them.
I don't think I would have been able to get through most of them.
Why did Hamlet delay his revenge?
Why did Hamlet delay his revenge? I don't know, we've done Hamlet, but, you know, I haven't really thought about it enough to work it out.
Would you go with the Freudian interpretation?
I think he just didn't really want to kill his dad as much as... If he'd have wanted to kill him...
Didn't
read the books. If he'd have wanted to kill everyone a bit more, he would have killed them quicker. But he still had doubts in his mind, and so
because after the play within the play, right, he knows his uncle did it.
Yeah.
So, but he still waits to act.
Yeah, but then he's a human, isn't it? It's quite hard to kill people for a lot of people. For a lot of people,
so
killing doesn't
you
come
don't
as
go
a
with
second
the Oedipal hypothesis.
Quite possibly, but. To be honest, I think the original intention was probably just a reflection on
see, this is the
basic
this is what,
human
you're doing
nature.
Well at golf, because I can tell, because
oh, yeah, yeah.
You know nothing about
yeah,
this question.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
You just keep talking until... And then when someone gives you the answer, you go, yeah, that is what I thought. Yeah,
it's
possibly along those lines.
It's because you meet people with so... Oh, and everybody else does it. And
yeah.
Everybody else... And you can't just go... Otherwise, you just have to sit there and listen to all of their bollocks without putting your own bollocks in there, which is just a horrible phrase, but...
Are you
going to
get a master's, do you think?
I've got no idea. I don't know what I'm doing.
Arthritis. What are you studying at university?
I was just going to say, can we get back to talking about something that I know? Like porn.
You're not studying porn at university?
No, I'm studying America.
America?
Yeah.
He's doing have you got a sandwich course?
I'm just trying to think of a good... I'm trying to think
of
a good
film with American studies, and then American studies is politics, history, sociology and literature.
So... Trying to think of a good academic question about American studies. Would you say that the culture of honour in the American South was a leading cause and informant of the Civil War?
No.
You wouldn't say that?
Yeah, why not?
You would say that.
I don't pay attention, I just write an essay occasionally and then get it back. And it's
did Washington cut down a tree? Because he was very honest.
Old America.
Okay,
America
so new America.
Got good since...
Okay, does the growing dynasticism within the American presidency signal a flaw within the social mobility aspect of the American dream?
No.
Doesn't?
Of course it doesn't.
It's just the Bushes were the best at the time and so were the Clintons.
Yeah. Well, I quite like George Bush.
Yeah, me too.
Did you read his book?
No, I'm going to over the summer.
Should,
yeah,
it's really good, that book.
It's because, like, you've got to read it in his voice.
Yeah.
Right? Read it in his voice. And, like, and then every now and then he'll get to a bit and he's like, oh, I didn't like that. And he moves on to something else. It's brilliant. It's, like, it's great training. Especially if you're doing an academic subject. It's great. Like, it's refreshing.
I love how the worst moment in his...
Yeah, man. I love this guy.
The worst moment is in his presidency was Kanye West saying he didn't care about black people. That was the worst moment in his presidency.
Yeah, yeah. You could get the impression that he was really upset about it. Like, he was upset. Like, really upset about it. You know.
Had to write an essay about... the war on terror, and I sort of started out wanting to be really like anti and quite left wing, and then by the end I was just sort of won over
when you actually read about it
and
that will happen.
Yeah,
it's life, isn't it?
It's when you start reading about war and understanding about war that it starts to become difficult.
That's when you start reading about what Saddam Hussein used to do to political prisoners, making them sit on spikes in the prison.
There's more problems.
Ah, that's a bit more complicated than I may have been led to believe.
Such a straight.
Especially when it comes to military strategy, though, you're kind of like, this is not by any means something that people who are not equipped to do it can do. It's not it's not easy at all. Yeah. Like you're kind of like the idea, like I suppose the idea was used to be before September 11th used to be that, you know, soldiers are bastards and anyone who likes war is bad, and you're kind of like, that's not really, like, if you look, if you pay a bit of attention to history, that's not really, now especially, that's not really how it works. Like people avoid,
I think people who like war are bad.
I think and people say are just like,
oh, I just bang into war. They are bad people. We can say that safely.
But I don't think that war is necessarily.
People who are good at war are not necessarily bad. Yeah, people who like it. I wish there was a. I'd love a bit of war.
Yeah.
I haven't massacred any villages lately. It's really rubbish.
I suppose you could make the argument that having a war makes people happy.
I hope no one listens to this. I'm going to be in so much trouble. You love war. You're a sex worker exclusion. You're radical feminist.
But you know, for all they know, I could just be trolling them, couldn't I? Because that's what I do.
That's a good way out of it. I don't know what to do. We've done enough.
Yeah, we've done plenty.
We've done enough. We haven't played a song because we couldn't seem to get through one.
We could play something that's going down in Waco.
Why would we want to do that?
I don't know, man. We could play any of them.
And then that would sort.
We played that last time.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought it'd sort of tie in.
Write a song about porn quickly. And do that.
We have got songs about porn.
Doomed Youth.
Which is the one that goes, you can't have the something without the something. That was on one of our albums. That was about. I can't remember which one it was. I can't remember any of our songs now. It's really weird. I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new album. I've written all these new ones. I can't remember any of the old ones.
Yeah, good.
I'll just play. Well, you can do, just make me do.
We that's could write a song live on air.
Yeah.
That's a terrible idea.
Okay.
Everyone go round and do it live.
No, that'd be awful. Okay. Yeah, then the song doesn't matter. It's good or bad.
Part of Simon's new project, so it's good.
That's good.
That's the theme song.
I mean, obviously, this is not anything we're going to release, obviously. Amarillo by morning, up from San Anton. Everything that I've got is just what I got on.
There's got to be one that you don't mind doing.
I just don't want to do any of them.
Well, we've got to do one of them because we've got to play one of our songs at least. We can't really.
No, we did two covers.
Well, thank you very much for being on our podcast.
that's fine.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah. We had
enjoyed
a great
doing
time.
It was fine to last bit. We all started saying stuff we can't say and had to just put loads of cuts in. which is quite nice. But look, the thing is, can people, if people want to come to your fourth gig, how do they do that?
I don't know. We'll have to get one first.
Yeah, we'll have to sort one out.
A website?
We do have a website.
It's kind of shameful, really, your website, because it is not corporate records.
No, we was waiting until we've got something to release. It says in the press release that it's going to. Debut album out this summer, Death to the Seminal Fluids, will be released on corporate records.
Excellent.
Well,
that is exciting. I will download that.
Yeah. You have to wait a while.
So where on the webs on the internet can you?
Just type in the Seminal Fluids on Facebook.
I don't think that... Oh, on Facebook.
Yeah, no, don't do it on Google. Yeah. I did that earlier and it was some
horrible
article about what it was.
Facebook, yeah. Twitter.
Don't type Twitter, it into Google though. Image search.
No.
You're buried in the listings now.
Facebook,
type into Facebook.
Bandcamp.
Yeah, Facebook, Twitter. Just search our name and all of those. People are quite savvy now, aren't they?
You search
giving
out
URLs and email addresses is just the worst.
Yeah, but the thing is, you're not doing it for the people who are savvy, you're doing it for people who aren't. The people who go,
why are they downloading a podcast?
Because someone's played it to them, or they've gone, or their children have come over and gone, yeah, I'll put some things in your iPod for you. And they've gone, oh, I just listen to things that my son puts on my iPod for me.
Yeah.
Those are not our target market for the Paul Rock based band.
Well, I don't think you should limit yourself in that way.
And they've gone, I've listened
to the Radio Lab, and I've listened to the Richard Herring, and now you listen to the Indelicates one, which I don't know why he puts on there because it's not very good. But I don't know how the computer works really. But I want to know how I can give some money to those nice boys who sang the song I couldn't understand.
I think that's the saving grace with the live gigs is Josh doesn't know how to sing into a microphone, which is what the sound guy told us yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Your singer does not know how to sing. He
sings about half a foot away and nothing gets picked up.
Yeah. I'm just trying to work out who I'm doing an impression of. I think it's the Goblin.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just a nice little old lady from the southwest of England. I just listen to what my son puts on at their sweetheart. Anyway, that's it. That's enough. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.